This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The football playoffs squeezed into one small cup.
Setbacks pave the way for comebacks.
Track the playoffs now. This is 7 in Heaven.
You know, he's right about that. There's really no much further you can go down with. You have to get no place else to go but up. Even though Deshaun Watson is getting compared to Jamarcus Russell now. Got that going for us.
Mark Bulger, I saw, was one of them.
All right. Boy, we're bringing out some historic names. So you want to do this differently from here on out?
Well,
it's okay.
It did. We got into a huge dust-up before the show about this because I think a power ranking would be better at this stage. Because if we're just predicting, we just get mad at each other for the predictions. And then it's stupid because we don't know who's going to be healthy. We don't know what's going to happen. And then we just sit there and we look at the schedules to try to be predictive. I think it almost needs to be a power ranking so we can talk about which teams are hitting their stride or which teams we believe in or don't believe in.
I mean, we're 1-5. What the hell? Yeah, you want to change the rules?
We can revisit next year.
Oh, I'm serious. We might as well do a power ranking because I'm not interested in them making the play. They're not making the playoffs now. So before, when they were in the 7 in Heaven, it's like, okay, where are they going to finish? Like, that was fun. This isn't fun. So yeah, you want to switch it up? Switch it up. Owen, is that okay with you?
I'll do anything at this point.
Yeah.
Well, no, I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. Just because I said it doesn't mean it's the right thing in this case.
Power ranking the whole AFC.
Let's do one more.
No,
can we do one more classic?
Well, they're not in the power rankings either.
Let's do one more classic 7 in Heaven.
Don't do it.
Okay. Let's do one more classic 7 in Heaven, and then we'll decide during the week whether or not after this Sunday's huge embarrassing failure, we'll see whether or not we want to do a power ranking on Tuesday. Okay? So go ahead. You want to go first?
Yes.
Probably pick the same exact one you did last week. I'm pretty close to mine, I gotta tell you. Go ahead.
All right, KC number one. Number two, we go to the Baltimore Ravens, who I was actually considering giving them the top spot. That's how good they are getting, and I think their defense is only going to continue to get better. It's something about Baltimore. No matter who their defensive coordinator is, no matter who the players are, there's just an element of coaching over there that those players, they wear that uniform and they clamp down defensively. Number three, Houston Texans, and they are really good. So those top three, I think, are a cut above the rest. And then I go with the Buffalo Bills, who won last night. I didn't think they looked great. I had forgotten, by the way, that Salah got fired. I tuned into that game. I kind of had both going. I had one on the tablet, one on the big screen.
I didn't watch any of that game.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. They have a new head coach. I've never heard of.
Yeah, I saw the Albrecht. I saw the Hail Mary by Aaron Rodgers at the end of the first half, and that was about it. That's all I saw.
All right, moving on to the wild card selections. I am going with the Pittsburgh Steelers, followed by the Chargers, followed by Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati,
which would leave the Browns as the only team in the division to miss the playoffs.
Tony, you have the exact same 7 heavy you did last week. It sounded different, but you had the exact same one. I'm very close to the exact same one. Here we go, 1-7. Number 1, Kansas City. Number 2, Houston. Number 3, Baltimore. Number 4, Buffalo. That has not changed from last week. Last change I had in the top 4 was week 4. Number 5, still the LA Chargers, 3rd straight week. 5th straight week, I have the LA Chargers. 6th straight week, I have the LA Chargers on the 5th seed. They're going to line up. They're going to run their way into the playoffs. Number 6. Well, unless he picks Russell Wilson today, I think it's got to be Pittsburgh. I'm going to put Pittsburgh at 6.
Does it matter who their quarterback is?
I don't know. George Pickens does everything he can, but you know they run into teams that are just more organized then. The Raiders are a mess. They have no leadership. Antonio Pierce, I watched that game. God. it's just as bad as it gets. I don't know. Like, they draft every knucklehead they can at the wide receiver position, Pittsburgh can, and they never really let it affect them. Meanwhile, Las Vegas can't get out of their own way. But you know what? We got our own problems here. Number seven. I put the Jets last week, and I put the Jets the week before. I had them at number seven, and I had the Jets at number six last week. The Jets are just... it's so bad. I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Go for it.
Right now, I got to say the Colts.
Wow.
Of course, I don't have much. I don't have much faith in that, because when does Joe turn into a pumpkin? You know what I mean? Like, when's Joe gonna start to come back down to earth a little bit? Because he was starting to come back down to earth with us.
Sure. I think it's, well, part of it is just playing with a lead versus not playing with a lead. I mean, a desperate Joe Flacco, that's the guy that turns into a pumpkin, right?
Yeah. Their schedule is actually pretty difficult. Well, they have Miami coming up on Sunday. Eventually, they say they're going to get Tua back this year. Then they're at Houston, at Minnesota. Those are two toughies in a row. Then they are home against Buffalo. That's another toughie. Then the Jets. Then Detroit, then New England, Denver, Tennessee, the Giants and Jags. It ends kind of nice for them over the last 3 weeks. We'll see what Denver is. But you got some real big tasks to go with there with the Colts. So I guess I'll put the Colts there. That's seven in heaven. Boy, I'm starting to feel the way you're feeling. Like, hey, you know what? Maybe we should just do the power ranking there. Maybe we should. That might be more interesting there. Because it's just no fun. I mean, you're not wrong with what you said about Stefanski on Sunday and that play and what's going on. And I mean this sincerely. Like, there seems to be some people on that defense that are not starting to, that have really been getting a little bit tired here. And I'm not going to reveal anything, but you hear things, and there's definitely some guys going, you know, we can't go out there and we can't score everything. We can't go create every single turnover. Like, you guys have to have something on offense. And they look exactly who leads that offense.
I mean, it's so bad. They got to put Myles Garrett on special teams to try to block kicks.
Well, he was on special teams last year.
I know, but it's just you have to rely on these guys to also pick it up on special teams, too, to try to win the game.
And so that's why I say, like, for the people who get in our mentions every day, start ripping Stefanski. Stefanski. You'll get what you want. Because if this really continues, you'll get your wish. He'll go too. Because you won't be able to run this back. You can't get rid of all these players here over the next 3 weeks. You can't do that. Some of the guys you're going to want to bring back, and you might just need an entire change of culture. So you might wash your entire hands of the whole thing and say, all right, that's enough of Stefanski. That's enough of Deshaun Watson at the end of the year. And for all we know, that might be enough of Barry. Because all these picks are just turning into not very much fun here. And again, you brought up the Cedric Tillman play, and I'm thinking, who took him? Who couldn't run a right route last year? Shows up in the preseason, then I can't get him to do anything during the regular season? It's always what could have been with some of these guys. It's like, you can't just take a good, solid player. And I'm thinking, well, he hasn't had a chance to take a guy in the first round. Well, has he not had a chance to take a guy in the first round because there's other wide receivers who end up being solid, nice picks that are third round on with teams? We can't really find that. We had one solid year of Donovan Peoples-Jones. Solid, nice season. One. He was a six-round pick. And for a while, that covered for what his deficits are at the wide receiver position. You can't cover for this anymore. This is bad. And so if Deshaun Watson were to work, it was like, okay, he'll get one more year where he can draft a wide receiver in the first round, even though the offensive tackle would have been a big one. Now we're thinking a little bit different, because now you got to sell tickets next year. And even if you have Deshaun Watson there, you got to have somebody that they can have hope in. But I do think that this weekend could end up being his Waterloo for all we know, because they'll trot Nick out there before the game starts. And I know we got to get back to Guardians, and I know you want to get back to there. They'll trot Nick out before the game starts, and people will cheer, and then they'll kick off. It's that old wrestling adage. Yeah, it all worked out well. And then the bell rang. Yep, and then they're going to kick off, and we'll see what happens after that.
All right, can I ask a highly speculative question?
Please do.
I'm not trying to start anything, but this is where your mind starts to drift to. when stuff really goes south, when things really go awry, and you start questioning everything. Because I'm in the question everything mode right now.
Yeah.
Even my strongly held beliefs and convictions about this team, things like Stefanski.
Yes.
I'm now questioning. I'm trying to keep an open mind on everything because this is rock bottom. They're arguably the worst team in the NFL. Ken, in the NFL, do organizations sometimes tell the coach that they got to play certain players?
Yeah.
Does that happen?
Yes.
Is that a healthy setup?
Usually, usually no.
Probably not.
Usually it's the beginning of a story where things went bad.
Is there any chance the Browns organization was telling Kevin Stefanski they had to get Tillman reps? And Kevin's like, you want reps? Okay. Third and one. Here you go.
That's what losing does.
Because what in the world?
That's what losing
does. I don't mean
to
come back and harp on that.
That's what losing does.
I just can't get over. I cannot get over. And I know this sounds ridiculous.
That's what losing a month of football games does to you.
This is a smart organization and a smart head coach, and they just did one of the dumbest things I've seen a Browns team do in a long time.
I don't know. Is it? Is it?
That really was.
Is it? I mean, we sit there and we claim how we're the smartest front office in the history of man, and we have, what, two playoff appearances and one win, and we can't draft a wide receiver to save our lives. How is that possible? Wide receiver, have all the metrics there, and we can't draft one to save our lives. And really, we can't even trade for one to save our lives. How is that possible? How long has Paul DiPodesta been here? Look at the wide receivers they've drafted while Paul DiPodesta's been here. You'll get sick. You will be sick at the amount of wide receivers. Like, that should be a value position. I just got done saying, hey, there's solid wide receivers taken mid-round, even later round, and even you had one of those seasons. You even had one of those seasons. So I even go above Andrew Berry. Of course, when things are bad, you can never really hold Paul DiPodesta at anything because you don't really know exactly what he does. He only comes around when things are good. He's 2,300 miles away. If he's 23,000 miles away, that'd be something. He's 2,300 miles away. So I don't know what the hell the guy's doing for us. Do you know? Okay. I don't know what strategy we're officiating, but we got to figure out something here. All right, that's enough of that. Matt Derry joins us right now to answer all those questions on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. One half of the Derry Brothers Guardians cast you find right here on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com. Matt, good morning to you, friend.
What up, boys?
Oh, boy, you sound down. Come on. It's a 1-0 series.
I'm fine.
No,
I'm
you
fine.
Sounded down. Come on.
No, I brought more energy the other day when Mitch woke me up, so it's all good.
Okay, because, we got some people going, guys, it's one game. And I go, nobody's freaking out. Why are you saying, guys, it's one game? And then I thought, oh, God, they're freaking out worse than either of us are, and they are trying to get us to talk them into saying it's only one game. So I am doing some, what did you call that? I'm
projecting.
Projecting yeah. on them. Yes, Matt. Is it just one game, or are there problems that you see? Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
There were so many series in the 90s where this team went down 0-1, and those were seven-game series, and they came back to do all right. So, yeah, I mean, your back's against the wall a little bit, having to face Gerrit Cole down 0-1. Carlos Rodon, who has kind of owned the Guardians for the last few years, going back to his days in Chicago, I didn't think would be as good as he was last night. You could question some of Vogt's moves. I hated pinch hitting for Fry. But the bottom line is, to quote Kevin Stefanski a little bit, best chance to win is Deshaun Watson in Stefanski's eyes. Well, the best chance to win for the Guardians is if Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor hit, and they're not. And they're 3-3 in six playoff games getting away with it, with those two guys basically doing nothing. But now they got to get going. And Naylor's lost the plate. His brother's lost the plate. I'm not worried about Bo Naylor. I mean, Josh is the one that did damage all year, has to do damage now. And those two guys are going to continue to stay cold. This is going to be a short series.
Well, let me ask you about Jose here. I'm going to throw a theory by you, and then I have a question at the end. I look at the Yankees lineup, and I know that Giancarlo Stanton, he's hit home runs, by the way, but I know that he's been not so great over the last few years. I understand that, right? But if Aaron Judge goes and strikes out, he still has Gleyber Torres at the top. He has Juan Soto batting in front of him. He has Jazz Chisholm now in that lineup. He has Anthony Rizzo, who, yeah, I know, isn't what he used to be, but Anthony Rizzo's still batting eighth in that lineup. Like, there's names there that can kind of protect their greatest player and help them out. Like, if it's not Jose Ramirez, it's nothing. And he's perpetually in that spot. And I think that that's maybe why we put too much pressure. Now, let me ask you the question. From what I just said, is that a giant excuse for Jose Ramirez? Am I covering for Jose Ramirez?
Yes, you are.
Damn it.
Because Lane Thomas has been hitting behind him, and Lane Thomas had two of the three biggest hits in the last series for the Guardians. I mean, the homer off Olsen in Game 1 and the Grand Slam in Game 5. I mean, I'm not saying Jose sucks. I'm not saying give up on him. No, of course not. He's the man, and they're going to put a statue up of that dude. And he took one for the team the other day, and Scuba hitting him with a 100-mile-an-hour pitch on his wrist. I mean, the dude is nails, but he's got to deliver. I mean, the two hits, I think, you know, the two memorable hits he had in the first series, the one was ruled an error at first, and the other one was a 16-hopper over Torkelson's head the other day. I mean, he's got to drive the baseball, and Josh Naylor's at-bats have been a mess. Seems like he's always down 0-2. He's swinging at that slider in the other batter's box. Those are the guys that got you here. They both drove in 100 runs. So, the bottom of the order, I mean, Rocchio and Daquan has been amazing. Lane Thomas, obviously, has been so clutch. But, you know, 2 runs, 6 hits, you're not going to beat the Yankees that way.
Well, I thought the good news, Matt, was they didn't go through their main bullpen guys in that game yesterday. But I'm also equally frustrated that I felt like they gave that game away in the third inning. I felt like the Yankees, all the pressure's on them going into this series, and they know that, and it's not like I thought the Yankees were going to melt under that pressure, but I certainly didn't want us to have to take some of that off, and I really thought that they could take a deep breath after that circus of an inning. Just gave them that buffer that allowed them to play with more confidence.
No, I agree, Anthony, and I know you've been talking about it, how much the Yankees walk and how good their eyes are, and they see a lot of pitches, and that's what they do. That's why they're here. They just wore the Royals out in the last series, but, man, you know, Cantillo came in, and you could second-guess vote, but Joey had pitched very well in September and had come out of the bullpen a couple of times at the end of the year, so they were, and even in the playoffs, so they knew that he had done it before. He just spiked a couple. Again, I hate to pick on Bo Naylor, but put your body in front of the ball. Like, what was that? Awful. Awful. If you're not hitting, and you're hitting zero, Bo Naylor's batting average is zero. His OPS is zero. He has not gotten a base hit in the playoffs. So, like, at least try to block the baseball. A couple of those Olay moves ain't going to cut it. Now, again, Bo Naylor's not walking the hitters. The pitchers are. It was rough, and that's what the Yankees do to you. They kind of wear you down a little bit. But in response, I like the fact that the Guardians got it down to, you know, the tying run coming up to the plate in the eighth, and I hated pinch hitting for David Fry. I did not like it at all.
Do you think, Matt, that this Bo Naylor situation, he's not the biggest problem, obviously, but do you think that is going to cause Vogt to lose trust in him and maybe go anti, you know, lefty-righty and instead go with Hedges in some of these games?
I mean, the fact that he pinch hit Hedges for Bo Naylor should tell you something late in the game. I'm not saying that Austin's going to start tonight. I don't know that. I mean, this is Garrett Cole we're talking about here. Maybe Bo Naylor just needs to run into one. Maybe a short swing and, you know, 98, and they got to get him going. But yes, I think that just the fact that he pinch hit Hedges for him last night should tell you a little bit about how they feel right now. And they like Bo Naylor. He's a young player. He didn't have a good season at the plate. I think he grew up behind the plate and did a nice job with the pitchers. But like I said, I mean, his older brother, they've got to get Josh going, because I just think in the middle of that order, that's where you drive in runs. And table's been set up. I mean, you know, Fry's gotten on base. Kwan's been unbelievable. Rocchio's been on. So You got to do that again, where you get those guys up there, and hopefully Jose and Josh do their thing.
Is Stephen Vogt a deficit to this baseball team just because this is his first postseason? Because, I mean, he just seems to be a batter off in the pitching decisions. He seems to be a hitter off in pinch hitting decisions. You know, you brought up the Will Brennan. Like, why are you just bringing Will Brennan up because it's a lefty matchup? Is that it? Like, what are we doing here? Like, so I ask you that because he's gone up against A.J. Hinch, who I know you hate, and he's gone up against Aaron Boone, who you know I very much dislike, but these are both seasoned guys in the postseason who have already made their mistakes.
Yeah, by the way, A.J. and A.J. Hinch stands for Abner Doubleday Jr. You know, he invented the game. No, in all honesty, I think Stephen Vogt has done a nice job, and I like him a lot, and what he's meant to this team, and what you could see how much the guys rally around him. He's going to make mistakes. He is a rookie manager. I just, last night, I know Luke Weaver's been carving up righties lately, but you got two on and one out, and you're like, all right, Kwan with a base hit. Now they got runners on the corners. This looks good. And David Fry had maybe the biggest swing of the year against a righty in Bo Brisky in game four. You're pulling for Will Brennan. And, yeah, I know, and Brian Anderson kept saying on TBS, Will Brennan's their best pinch hitter. Okay, I like Will. He's a nice guy. He seems like a decent player, but he's a fourth or fifth.
Boy, yeah, come on now, Matt. You know damn well you're a broadcaster. When we start off like, hey, how do you like so-and-so's show? You know, so-and-so's a really nice guy. When you say a guy's a nice guy, what are you saying?
Well, I'm saying he's a good teammate. He usually puts the ball in play. He's a decent hitter. But David Fry made the All-Star team this year. I want him up there. I don't want Will Brennan up there. I mean, Will Brennan will probably play tonight.
Do you think the injury is affecting him that much, David Fry?
Yeah, but he homered against Brisky the other day. He fought off a really tough pitch by Scooble to load the bases the other day with that infield single. I mean, he's had some decent swings. And to me, who's more of a threat, David Fry or Will Brennan?
David Fry.
He should have been hitting, period.
You gonna ask him the question? Or
all right, why?
I can't ask a question.
Why now? He looks the same to me that he's looked for how many years? I don't know what's going on right now. Fans, they're body shaming Josh Naylor.
Really?
Oh, he's always been a thick Jimmy Smits, according to somebody on the internet, which I thought was a very good line. That was years ago, though. I don't think he looks any different than what he looked a couple years ago, and people say you guys are nuts.
So people think that he's a little overweight, and that's
they're all acting like he's John Goodman in The Babe.
Oh, come on. Look, man, I mean, there have been plenty of big guys that put the ball over the fence. You know, I mean, remember overweight Jose Canseco? I still think he hit 40 home runs. I mean, I don't know what to tell. I mean, he has had a lot of wear and tear, and he's always seemingly limping. But you know what? I mean, he has delivered so many times this year, and I know he knows – better than to be swinging the pitches in the other strikes in the other batter's box. I don't think it has anything to do with his body weight. I just think he's in a slump right now.
Now people tweeting that he looks like Brandon Frazier in The Whale. More people are now tweeting he looks like the mom in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. This
Come
is
on,
ridiculous.
Geez.
Cleveland fans, we've been through it, man. I mean, when you don't win a World Series since 1948, It wears on you, and it's the Yankees, and I get the frustration. Split tonight. Get the win.
Yeah.
Split New York.
I'm turning my computer off.
Let's go.
I got John Candy and Brewster's Millions.
People are disgusting.
Montgomery Brewster.
Matt Derry.
Spike Nolan. Good reset there.
It's a good movie. Matt Derry joining us, Derry Brothers Guardians cast. So what do they got to do to get to Gerrit Cole today? Do they have to survive Gerrit Cole for six innings and then see where they go?
It might be that. Ken, I mean, he's really, really good. He was so good the other night against Kansas City. He dominated the Guardians with just filling up the strike zone in that day game at Yankee Stadium back in, I think it was June or July when he came back. You just, you know, you can't pull some of those change-ups that go into the dirt, you can't pull the trigger on. You got to work the counts a little bit and hopefully run up the pitch count and do what the Yankees do. But again, I think today is one of those Jose days where maybe Jose runs into one and puts him up 2-0, and Bobby pitches well, and you're right, it becomes a bullpen game. They used Weaver for 5 outs and last night, and now it's a back-to-back. So, you know, they went with their big guys with Holmes and Weaver, and our guys are rested, so we'll see what happens.
If I could turn my mic on, Matt Derry, Derry Brothers Guardians cast. All right.
Do you want to talk about the dimensions of that stupid field?
I know. I'm waiting for one of those Anthony Rizzo pop-up homers that go 300 feet. I know. I'm waiting for one of those in this series.
What's he laughing about? What's Mitch laughing about?
Mitch really liked your comment there.
Sorry, Mitch. Come on, what's Mitch up to today?
Mitch is a fake. He's a fake Guardians fan. So,
is he really?
Oh, you didn't hear about all this?
I saw you and Owen at a high school game the other night. That was a great pick. You guys look great.
Well, thank you very much. I have nothing else to say. I thought Owen was going to make a smart-ass remark. He didn't say anything. All right, Matt.
I have too much respect for Matt Derrick.
Yeah, thank you very much for the time, Matt. Oh, yeah, are you going to give me the wrap-up sign there, Mitch, you think? All right. Matt, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
All right, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. You too. Matt Derry. Right, I will talk to him soon.
It's crazy
like right
to
after
me.
This segment, I'm going to text him.
It's crazy to me that people are acting like the series is over, and then people are acting like we're acting like the series is over. That is not happening.
Because there's people who legitimately just think we're not going to win the series now.
First of all,
then there's people, I'm telling you, there are people who want us to talk them into it. I don't need to talk them into it. Guys, it's one game. And there were some things yesterday that, yeah, didn't go our way. And I didn't like that Joey Cantillo was out there throwing it into the dirt. I didn't like that he was out there early enough. I thought when the trainers went out there, they should have taken Alex Cobb with them. I don't know why Alex Cobb was left in too long. And I don't know why Joey Cantillo was left in to come out again. When it clearly, the moment was too big for him. But these are things that our manager has to fix. But also our manager is trying to say, how on any possible way or earth can I get this thing to a level where A, we get to tomorrow because things aren't going our way right now, or B, we can get to Hunter Gaddis and guys that we actually can rely on. Like, that's one of the things that he has to deal with because it's a bullpen game because you really have two starters against four.
Which is tough in a seven-game series.
And against that team that does have that lineup, yes. So these are facts that the Guardians have to get over. It's not a downtrodden, down-and-out, sad bastard feeling.
These games,
you knew going in that you were the underdog. These are things that you have to get
also,
over, guys.
These games can look completely different. I mean, I'll never forget the 2016 World Series. Every game was its own story. It was its own galaxy. Like, every single one was totally different from the other one. You had a dominant Kluber outing. Then the Cubs had a dominant Arrieta outing. And then the next thing you know, it's a shootout at the end of the series. Like, you just don't know what these games are going to be like.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, part of our pregame yesterday for the big Guardian showdown in New York was going to Little Italy and enjoying Columbus Day.
I had an awesome time.
Hey, paisanos!
Got to see the statue of Rocky Colavito.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we spent quality time over there. Met a lot of great people. The parade, I'd say, went on without a hitch, but I think one group of revelers were not happy. I botched.
It wasn't your fault.
Well,
one guy cussed you clean out.
I know.
It was awesome.
His group, they didn't have the sheet.
And
we read the sheet.
I forgot where I was at. Because I was going to go, hey, why don't you come up here and say that, buddy? You bleeping feel strong? Almost said it. And I realized I was on the church steps.
So
Basil Russo was next to us. I didn't want to.
Oh, we had a lot of.
I don't want to embarrass him.
A lot of highfalutin political figures were there.
He's a good man. Very powerful man.
But because there were so many powerful people there, we wanted to make sure we look good. We wanted to feel good. But most
That's
importantly.
That's why I wore my favorite Duluth Trading Company jacket.
Look good, feel good, play good.
And smell good.
Yeah.
And as we were departing, they reserved spots for us behind the church.
Thank you to Dan.
Holy Rosary. That was
Dan
incredible.
Dan the man. Wonderful man. Thank you.
That was awesome.
Congratulations on all your success.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the spots reserved. And as I was getting out, I have a compartment in my car that always will have cologne. I need to have cologne on me at all times, just like mints. Got to be taken care of if we're talking to people. Can't give out the stank, whether it's the breath or whether it's how you smell, the odor.
Yeah.
So I pulled my cologne out and you went, oh, that's a good idea. I said, hey, take this. Take my cologne.
I did not want to use it.
You did not want to use it. Why didn't you want to use it?
Because I'm like, we can't smell alike going in there. We can't smell like each other.
I see zero problem with that at all.
I thought it was a lot. You didn't think that was a lot?
You've never done this with your friends?
It just feels like we're a little, like, I'm very close with you. That feels a little too close. There's some things that have to be mine and some things that have to be yours. It just felt a little too close.
The quick Italian shower on Columbus Day? Come on, Kenny.
Well, there's also the Irish shower. Which is basically the same shower.
You just do it on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, you do it on St. Patrick's Day. That's how it goes. I had my own spray
in my truck. Do you think anybody
would
anybody ever pick up on that?
No, I overthink it, but I think it, and it bothers me. I have my own little idiosyncrasies. You know that.
What about with your kids?
What about them?
Okay, let's say, because kids just always smell, right? Even they could shower 10 times. They find a way to smell. So if you guys are all walking in somewhere and you're like, come on, guys. You don't think maybe dousing them?
You want me to put cologne on my sons? I never thought about that, yeah.
Well, that's why you named him Maxwell, right? Because of Max body spray.
Jonah walks in. Brute. What do you English leather English on leather. Eli? It's like, what
Eli's
you...
a Stetson man. Come on. Oh, yeah.
You know, that was Stetson, my first cologne was Stetson.
You gonna put aftershave on?
I think you know how many nights in my 20s where we all met up before we went out and there was the, you know, not so much of the let's get ready together, but hey, are you ready to go? Oh, I need this. And that was a quick denial. We are not smelling alike. We are chasing it. We're using pheromones to chase the same conclusions,
it,
right?
It just...
You guys are
you
both...
You don't want everybody on an equal playing
guys
field?
Are both old men dads.
That's
now.
What I'm saying. It feels very college. Like, one of my buddy Brett, who I grew up with, who was my roommate in college, like, he had this, like, Agua de Gio. And I was like, hey, that smells good. Not at 38. No. No.
So, wait, you're just never going cologne again?
I may never wear cologne again.
Wow.
I don't know, man. It's a really... I like cologne, but at the same time, I don't know. I sprayed myself down with something. I told you I have that stuff that my mother-in-law bought me.
What's that?
I don't know. Something it's called like bourbon or something.
Breeze.
Bourbon. I don't know why I want to put that in my truck and drive around smelling like liquor. I don't know why that would be a good idea.
He gets pulled over, the officer. What seems to be a faint odor.
I'm still sober, officer. Get your drunk ass out here. Demos and Shaker, you're next up on the fan.
Smells like Fireball in here.
Sorry, Nemo.
Too early for Fireball. Too early for Fireball. But listen, Tony's, I don't know what he's trying to game he's trying to play on you here. The cologne is a personal decision here.
Thank you.
And you got to ask him, if you had a cologne, if you had a scent that was yours, and you said, hey, Tone, let me spray some of this on you, there's no way in hell he's going to allow you to do that. Because Tony has his own scent.
Yeah.
I've got my own scent. You go to Macy's or some store and you find a nice cologne instead of that crap from your mother-in-law, and you get something nice. Like for me, I like Issey Miyake. That's my scent.
How much?
Issey Miyake.
How much?
It's like $80 a bottle. It's like $80. But it lasts me about a year. So, and I smell good for a year, and the chicks dig it. So there you go.
Do they have anything that smells like biscuits and gravy? Thank you, Demos. I couldn't even write that. I don't even know what that is.
Well, we all do have
cologne.
Our scent. Like, I used to know a guy that would go downtown, and he refused. He had a whole science behind this. He refused to wear deodorant because he says his gamey pits attracted certain women. I swear to God.
Oh, God.
And he did pretty well. Okay. I will say he did pretty well. But would he have to explain this to the women of why he wasn't wearing
deodorant? Well, it's a way for you to not smell like anyone else there.
Oh, God. No, I wasn't. I just think it was a little too much sharing between us. I'm not going to do it. Yeah. So no one could talk me into that.